I'm just going to read the text I have for chapter 11. I'm going to read down to verse number 9, verses 1 through 9 of Genesis chapter 11. Then we're going to go back and just take these verse by verse. It says, "And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, 'Go to, let us make brick, and burn them throughly.' And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, 'Go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach into heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth.' And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, 'Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they began to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech.' So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build a city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth." Let's pray once again. Father, thank you for your word. We ask you to bless now. We pray for the power and leadership of the Spirit of God. And Holy Spirit of God, we cannot accomplish without you. And we not only want you as an invited guest, we want you to have complete control. Oh God, if we're not yielded this morning, somehow cause us, show us how to even yield to your leadership as not only speaker, but as listener. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Verse 1 and 2, the whole earth, not just part of, the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. We can't even go through our town without hearing other languages. We can't even go to the store without hearing people speak another language, particularly Spanish in our area. Some parts of a country, you might hear Vietnamese, you might hear Japanese, you might, where there's pockets of different people groups that have come to our country. And certainly, how many have ever been to a foreign country? How many of you have been traveled to a foreign country? And did you go to a foreign country that spoke a different language? How many have done that? That is an experience in itself. And I remember the first time that I went by myself down to Costa Rica and stepped into that airport, and everything is in Spanish. And you're hearing the people, or the people on the speakers, and it's in Spanish. And they're not being nice there. They're not saying it in English, too. It's all Spanish. I was thankful that there was a few of the signs that also had English on it. And then I got to thinking, I was traveling with some folks that were from Germany. And they spoke German. So here they are in a country that has some English signs and some Spanish signs, but no German signs. And I thought, how difficult that must be. Can you imagine, just for a moment, with just those little difficulties that we have faced ourselves, what it must have been like to have woke up one morning and everybody that you knew, or vast amounts of the people you knew, you could no longer converse with. Some of your friends, you no longer could speak to them. You would talk to them, they didn't understand. Can you imagine the anger and the frustration that might have been there at that time? And here we find all of them were one speech. Everybody can understand each other. And many believe that this would be what we call perhaps a heavenly language. I'm not going to go a long ways on that, but certainly it was a language that they had. It was a language that they could speak to God in. Some believe it was probably a Hebrew or the pure Hebrew language that they all spoke at this particular time. No doubt that morning they woke up. Some still had that language, and yet most we find they were changed. And so we find they would have, at this point, would have had some changes taking place. What would the changes be? What would you do if all of a sudden you walked in this room and not everybody, but most everybody in this room spoke a different language? What would you do? Really think about it for a moment. Somebody say leave? Leave. That's what they did. That's what they did. They left. One of the things I believe probably took place was it probably wasn't every person of family. I'm thinking probably family groups had language changes. And so what do? We find that a vast amount of them, they don't stay together. They end up departing one from another. Matter of fact, that was what God wanted to do to start with. We find that God had given them command to go into all the world. And what do? They basically all hover around this area of the fertile Mesopotamian plain near to Shinar. And so they have decided to settle here. They decided to build a city here. And they all speak one language. And it is, by the way, I believe a complete language. I want you to think about that for a moment. Evolutionists would have you to believe that men lived in caves as they evolved from monkeys. Now, why did we evolve from monkeys who lived in trees to men living in caves? Why didn't we stay in the trees? And we lost our tails. Maybe that was why. But they believe that. They believe that in this matter of evolving, that our language evolved and it began first with a bunch of, you know, unintelligible type of sounds, and then it eventually evolved into more complex languages. I don't believe that's true. I don't believe that's true. God made Adam. We remember that Adam was given a responsibility right off the bat, and that was to name all the animals. By the way, the reason a lot of folks believe that the language that Adam spoke was Hebrew is the names of the animals that were given are really have Hebrew derivatives for most of the animals. So it's just an interesting, that's a linguistic study that we'd have to do to figure that out. But language is no doubt a creation of God because God made you and I to commune with Him. And if you and I are going to have communication with God, there must be some way to express ourselves with Him and He with us. So I believe that God made us with a language. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2 says, "Hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds." And what He's saying here is He spoke to us by His Son. God spoke to us. God spoke to Adam. God spoke to all of us through the Word of God. I believe God is the author of language, gave us that kind of a skill. And, of course, because of the events that took place here that we're going to study a little more fully, God confounded their language. Man took this gift, and in his fallen state, rather than use that to bring glory to God, they cooperated in their rebellion against God. Think about that. notice verse number 3. Notice what it says. They said one to another. So they're taking the language God gave. What are they doing? They're using that language not to bring glory to God, but notice what they want to do. Here they say, go to. Let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime had they for mortar. So rather than systematically colonizing the entire world, we find that they cooperate in rebellion against God through the matter of speaking one to another. And they establish a centralized society, which, if I look at this and begin to understand it in its entirety here, is a society that is self-sufficient rather than God-dependent. Go to, let us make brick. Now, what's interesting, in this particular locality of the world, unlike some other areas, in order to make brick here, they must basically take the clay dirt and take that and put it in ovens. And of course, that's what it talks about here, burning them thoroughly. That's heat treating them, making the brick, making them so that they would be well produced. They might have longevity. Was not going to be a temporary structure. And it says, and they had then brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. We also know in this part of the country, by the way, what is well produced in the Mesopotamian Valley? What do we get there from today? We're fighting over it all over the world. Oil, okay? Oil. And so what they had available there is basically an ooze kind of a thing in different spots, which would be very much like what we call tar, that they would use as a type of mortar, which was a very, very good mortar. So they would make these bricks, take this tar-like substance, and put them together. And of course, what were they wanting to make? Well, we find in the next verse what they wanted to make. It says, they said, and here it is again, go to. Okay? We're making a decision. They've gotten together. All of them have gotten together on this thing. They've had a council meeting of some sort. And this is their plan of what they're going to accomplish. Let us build us a city. Okay? And a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us what? A name. Very important statement for us to understand there. Lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Now that's interesting. Lest we be scattered upon the face of all the earth. God said that they were to scatter upon the face of the earth. God wanted them to, even when Noah came off the ark, He had given them that instruction. They were to what? Settle the entire earth. We would have dominion over. They wanted a central thing where they had power themselves. You know, that's the tendency of men. We want to somehow have our power. Right? And we want to be looked up to, if you please. And so here we find that they plan to build a city with a tower. Now, let's stop and think about that for a little bit. Babylon. What do we know about Babylon? What do we know about Babylon? We go to the New Testament, we go to the book of Revelation, and we learn something about Babylon. And what we learn about Babylon is that it is really the source of all religion. We find in the book of Revelation, chapter 17, it talks about Babylon, the mother of harlots. All right, it's not talking about the sexual sin of harlotry. It's talking about really the spiritual sin of harlotry, whereby there was worship given not to God but to another. Now let's look what it says here. They wanted to build a tower. A tower. What would that do? Why would they want to build a tower? Many believe that this tower, as they were building it, had the signs of the zodiac. Now, I don't know anything about that stuff, quite frankly. I've never wanted to study it. I don't even want to know what my sign is. Don't you come up and tell me what it is. I don't want to know it. I don't want to look in the paper and think, oh, this is what I am. And I don't want anything to do with that junk. By the way, if you're a Christian, you ought to not want to either. We've got thus saith the Lord. Some people say, I've got to find out what's going to happen to me today. Try reading the book. Following the Spirit of God, all right? Not the other spirits. We've got a lot of this stuff going on today. Anyways, it is the signs of the zodiac would be there. Many things that we find about that has some element of truth. When God made the stars and the moon and the sun, what did He say about them? They would be used for what? Not only light, but what else? Signs and seasons, okay? Signs and seasons, okay? And we can look into the heavens and we can, if you study the constellations and so forth, you can figure out some things where you're at, okay? By the way, I read a study just recently of a man who took those things, put it together with the things that they find from the birth of Christ and all that's involved with that. he believes that he can pinpoint the actual date of the birth of Christ down to within 4 hours. And he went to many things. He went to Revelation chapter 12. And there where it talks about the stars in Israel. It was very interesting article. And it was very interesting to me because the date that he comes up with is September 11th. But 9/11 has some more significance today, doesn't it? From the Antichrist world. So anyways, that's just a little sidelight there. But it was interesting. What we have these things, they are there. And so what do we find? We find it that most believe when it says, "Whose top may reach into heaven, let us make a name," they, as they were building this, build it that it might show forth these kinds of things. No doubt it might have started out to be, well, we can just show forth God. Okay. What do we know as Christians? What do we know as Christians? It is very easy to begin to venerate objects as opposed to the Savior. Okay. Are not statues often become worship items amongst those who claim they're Christian? Isn't that true? You know, we do those things. We get our relics. It's simply amazing. We tend to go that direction. And so here they were building this tower, which, by the way, would evidently be a source of pride. And that's something we did. And we might even say, we did that for God. But it's a source of we did more than it is for God. And so they had these pretended avenues, perhaps, to venerate God, but it quickly, I believe, degenerated into satanic worship. For we find, as I mentioned in Revelation, that out of Babylon comes or is the source of all of the false religion of the world. How many have ever studied cults? You ever studied the cults? Anybody? A couple of you have. If you study cults, there's one thing that you're going to learn. They have different names and what seems like different approaches, but they're all really the same. And all of them is man doing what he can do best to try to honor God or get close to God. It's through his effort. Okay? Christianity is not man's effort to reach God. It's God's effort to reach us. Amen? And it's all by his grace. And whatever we are, whoever we are, is but by the grace of God. But what does man want to do? We want to somehow build our magnificent buildings. We want to do this or that. And all to what? Try to, well, in the end, it brings glory to ourselves. And so we have to be very, very careful of these things. Let me give you something. The average thought, amongst even the preachers of God in this nation, is that we measure success of a church, are you listening? By its offering, the size of its buildings, and the number of people who attend. Is that success? What is a successful church? Now think about this for a moment. What will God reward us for more than anything else? Winning souls, salvation. Can I put this under one category? When you go to the book of Matthew chapter 25, it's being faithful. It's being faithful. And so all these things that we do, we be faithful, we keep at it, we keep at it, we're doing what God wants us to do. We're following His Word. We're believing what He says. Okay? And it's not by what we do, it's by who we are, being faithful. Okay? Faithful means full of what? Faith. And we do because we believe. It's not in the doing, it's in the believing that causes us to do. Okay? So here we find these people, they were seeking to make a name for themselves. Well, the Lord sees this, and because it's such a terrible, horrible movement, because it is that which becomes so satanic, that we find the Lord says came down to see the city. God does not often pursue after men in these ways. He's very long-suffering, allows us to go our way, and for Him to have supernatural interference is not very often as we study throughout the Word of God. And God most of the time just allows us to suffer our consequences as it comes, because they always come. But here we find that the Lord, I believe, saw a danger. Notice what it says in verse 5, "And the Lord came down to see the tower," or the city and the tower, "which the children of men build it." He came down to see. "And the Lord said, Behold, the people is one, and they have one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do." What's the problem? They've gone away from God. They've not obeyed Him to start with. They've not scattered as they should. They've come together. They wanted to make themselves a name. It might all seem innocent to begin with, but we find that through the process of this, and as you study Romans chapter number 1 and the digression that sin takes us, it goes from worshiping the Creator to worshiping the created. And it goes from worshiping the created really into what we might just ought to call devil worship. And God allows us to go our direction. But here's, a situation. The danger was so real that the truth of God would be just simply stamped out, completely obliterated. God could not allow this situation to continue. I believe we're nearing that time again. The other night some of us were talking on the political scene. We look on the political scene. I'm not going to endorse or not endorse somebody. It's not my purpose in this point. But I will say this. On the political scene, a lot of folks look and they say, you can't believe any of them. I heard somebody the other day say the best thing we could do in our nation is to vote every incumbent out and get all new ones. Maybe not a bad idea. I'm not too sure about some of the new ones. But, you know, and we get to the spot where we almost want to give up. And we look at it and we say, I've heard folks say, it's too late. We have gone too far. And that may be the truth. And the Lord here, He's saying, this has gone too far. There's only one way to take care of this. There must be judgment. And I feel like we are very close to that. By the way, does not the Bible teach us, as in the days of Noah, these are after the days of Noah, but are very, very similar, because like in the days of Noah, they got so far away from God, God had to do something drastic. So as in these days, God must do something drastic. In our day, I believe we're fast approaching it. And by the way, it's called Armageddon or the tribulation. We're fast approaching that. We live in some very, very trying times in that regard. And if you're not a Christian, it's very scary. If you know the Lord, you might look at those things and get scared. But by the way, greater is He that's in you than he that is in the world. Okay? No matter what happens, we have a God to take us through. But we're drawing very near to these kinds of things. So God, He says, hey, these folks, they are bent on doing this. So God says, notice verse 7. Notice the two words go to. They had their counsel. God in the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. They have their counsel. Go to, let us go down. Let us go down. And there, He says, confound their language. They may not understand one another's speech. And so God almost in a mockingly way says, hey, go to. We can do that too. I think of Psalm 2:2, it says, the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed. Interesting. That is a place that it seems like we're at yet even this day. But God says, go to. And so God takes that which brought them together, God takes their communication of ideas and destroys their interdependence. I don't know when he did it during the day. I just had this imagination through the night. They woke up the next morning and they go out and begin to talk to their neighbors, and nobody can understand each other. I can imagine Nimrod, who is the chief ruler at this place at this time. I can imagine he giving orders and they don't even understand him. I can imagine him getting agitated and irritated and telling some of these soldiers, go behead that guy. And the soldier looks at him and says, don't know what you're talking about. You know, can you imagine what's going on? And so God confounds all of that, and we find that now there is not much choice for them but to be scattered. So the Lord, what? Through that process, scattered them abroad from thence upon all the face, or upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Now they had made some progress with that. Many believe that later Nebuchadnezzar, when he began to establish his kingdom there in Babylon, actually the tower, he rebuilt that or refurbished it, and much of the city. But we find here that they were what? They were scattered. Therefore is the name of it called what? Babel. Means confusion. Because the Lord there did confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Separation was inevitable as a result of this. And so they migrated away from each other. They must, as they migrate away from each other, we've got, I can see family groups going this way, that way, and the other way. And most likely they began to intermarry. By the way, intermarriage was not outlawed until later. Some people say, well, where'd Cain get his wife? Married a monkey, of course. No, it was a sister. He said, well, that's not allowed in the Bible. It is later in Moses' law that that becomes outlawed. Now, I want you to stop and think about this. When intermarriage does take place, there's a phenomenon that starts to take place as well. And the reason that later God commands it not to happen. Because through intermarriage, we find that there are certain characteristics that might lie dormant for the most part, but all of a sudden become prominent. Okay? Now think about that. They move to different localities, and different characteristics physically become more dominant with different groups. Some folks say, how do we get the races? All of us contain, when it comes to skin pigment, the same factors. What is dominant in yours as compared to mine? And as these folks would migrate and as they intermarried, there would be certain things that might become more dominant that wouldn't with other people groups. And so you find that there are differences. You go into parts of Africa, and what do you have? You have people who are very slender and very tall. Of course, you know there's also in other parts the pygmies. You go to Australia and you find the Aborigines who have a very different facial structures compared to many others. Very broad. And so we find these differences that are there. By the way, America, where many of these different ones have come together, some of those differences have disappeared somewhat. Let's just think of this. Black folks are not as black as they were when they came out of Africa. Why? There's been intermarriage with whites. Okay? But they're the same people. And I bring this up for another reason. There is, within our population, a lot of people and amongst Christians who believe that black folks are descendants of Ham, and as a result of that, they are under a curse. This is the underlying problem with the white supremacist movement. And they believe that black folks are cursed of God. Some of those folks do. It's a religious belief with them. But it's a false religious belief. By the way, who was cursed of Noah's sons? Who? I'm hearing something, but not hearing all of it. What are you saying? Cain? Ham's son. Canaan. Ham's son, Canaan. Okay? Ham is the one who saw Noah's nakedness. Some believe that was a homosexual act. I really don't know. But he saw his nakedness. And we find a curse was placed, but not upon Ham. Ham had four sons. Three of those sons went into, from what folks have discovered, into Africa, and most of them are the black population. But those sons weren't cursed. Who was cursed? Canaan. Does that name sound familiar to you? It ought to. When God brought Israel out of Egypt, where did He say to go? The land of who? Canaan. Do you realize that God used the Jew to go into the land of Canaan to bring judgment upon them because of the curse? It was the Canaanites that were cursed, not the Hamites. See? So we as Christians, sometimes we look and we say, you know, especially we're white Christians, we say, we're not cursed. Then black folk, no. There we have an issue of pride. There's a very interesting book out by a guy named Ken Ham. If you ever get a hold of it, you ought to read it if you're interested in some of this stuff. It's called One Blood. And there's a reason it's called that. The characteristics in the blood of a black person, a red person, a yellow person, a white person, what other colors do we have? It's all the same. It's all the same. And yes, we have different cultures. Yes, we have different understandings of things because of our backgrounds. Yes, there are differences. Yes, there are what we might even call stereotype type of things. I'm always teasing her about being German. But by the way, the name Springer is a German name. And I tease her about Germans being stubborn. What's that? And we know it's true because she's stubborn, she's German. Oh, yeah. The whole world's stubborn is a problem. See, we do. We do that kind of stereotyping. Okay? We do it with blondes. I got to tell you a story about a Polish man one time. We were telling what we used to call Polak jokes. And this big, huge guy. We were all at work, and he was huge. Nobody messed with him. He got up and he wrote a name across the thing. Big, long name, Pulowski or something. It was a big, long one. And he says, "What is that?" And everybody laughed. He says, "That's a Polak name." And he looked at us and he says, "That's me." It was as quiet as this. We do these kinds of things. You know, hopefully most of the time it's good naturedly, but if we do those kinds of things seriously, we need to be careful. We need to be careful. Really, because what? God made all of us in His image. And there's no difference. And we ought to seek to win all kinds of people to Christ. It doesn't matter. They need Him. They're people. And are there differences? Yes. Are there differences of culture? Yes. Are all these things there? Yes, they are. But we need to understand that. Okay? And we're all like these folks here. We get too prideful and we want to do it our own way. And really the crux of the whole lesson today is we just need to do it God's way. Not to seek to do His work our way and change it. So there's just some real good areas. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank You so much today. We pray You might bless in the hour to follow. Oh God, may we have great compassion for all people groups. Lord, may we understand that You created us all. Lord, may we realize that sometimes we look with anger even at the illegals that are here. But God, they need Christ. And while they're in our backyard, we have a privilege that we wouldn't otherwise. The Lord, help us take advantage of that. Lord, help us to be compassionate to all. And Lord Jesus, that we might just follow after Your wonderful example in these things. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen.